Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Cal Fritzy. I hope everybody's having a great day, and I hope you survived a very, very chilly weekend. I don't know where you are from, but I am from, if you can believe this, Southern Ontario. It is the middle of May, and yes, we had a snowstorm, and the temperature dropped to zero, or 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Middle of May. I'm not happy wearing a winter coat in the middle of May. Anyway, onward and upward we go. Now, you're going to notice in the show highlights that I want to talk about a young lady. Her name is Alicia Gale. Alicia Gale. Look up into the slides and take a look at this young lady. Blonde hair, blue-eyed. She's beautiful. Alicia Gale decided that she wanted to obtain employment in the United Arab Emirates. Young, beautiful. It looked exotic. It looked exciting. And she was absolutely thrilled to be employed with one of the biggest hotel chains, Starwood. Now, as we know, Dubai is emerging as a major stopover point for long-haul journeys. As I was discussing not too long ago, Qantas Airlines now has a stopover in Dubai. And I will get to why, Alicia, from Australia, ended up applying for work there. They have 500 flights a month, and that will deliver, guys, over 1 million people to the UAS. That is within the next year. Now, Dubai itself is being promoted as a luxury high-class paradise in the desert, but you know the reality is brutally different. And this is what Australian Alicia Gale found out. She took a job in the United Arab Emirates with one of the world's, like I say, biggest hotel chains, and that would be Starwood. What happened next, though, it makes this story a must-watch for all of you out there, and especially for Australians planning or traveling through that region. And I have the link. I'll put it in the chat room in a minute. She was, what happens, she was over there. She was in the hotel's lobby, staff bar, rather. She was using her laptop. She was down there because her room had been flooding. So she left her room while maintenance took care of the flooding in her room. So she went down to the hotel staff bar with her laptop, and she was having a drink. There was apparently a group of fellow employees down there as well. She knew them. One of the guys had a tray or a little bowl of ice, and he put some ice in her drink. She didn't think twice of it. But what was in that ice? Well, what he did was he spiked her drink. Hours later, she woke up to a nightmare, and it was beyond her belief. She woke up the very next day, 4:30 in the afternoon, only to discover that she had been savagely raped by three of those colleagues. She had bruisings, like you wouldn't believe. The contusions were unbelievable. She had broken ribs. Now, she's alone, and she's absolutely frightened. And she took her own self to the hospital. But what she did not realize then is that under UAE's strict Sharia laws, if the perpetrator does not confess, a rape cannot be convicted without four adult Muslim male witnesses. Instead, what happened is that she herself was charged with having illicit sex outside marriage, and she was thrown into a filthy jail cell for 8 months. She was in a jail cell with something like 30 other women in a cell. Her sentence was originally 11 months with an extra month thrown on for drinking. That's right, because despite the fact that she was in what would be considered a safe compound, the judge still decided to throw in an extra month because she had been drinking alcohol. But she was released after 8 months. Are we supposed to be happy with that? She's home now. She's trying to get on with her life. And she finally did break her silence. She went on the air with Ross Colhart. She talks about her experiences in Dubai and what happened. I have a little clip here that I will play for you, and then I want to move into what Starwood had to say and what the Australian embassy says about travel to the UAE.
The UAE promotes itself as a desert paradise, welcoming to Westerners, where alcohol flows and a blind eye is turned to Western ways. 90 minutes from Dubai is Le Meridian Al Aqqa Beach Resort, owned by the giant American hotel chain Starwood. So, Alicia, let's go back to 2008.
Yes.
You were hoping for an adventure.
That was the plan, yeah.
Alicia, who was 27, had been hired to be manager of the hotel's spa and beauty salon.
I got offered a fantastic package, which seemed like a dream. Tax-free income and all expenses paid, and I went over with hopes of it being fun and luxury.
Set on the beach, no expense has been spared. Opulent rooms, restaurants, bars, a nightclub, a massive pool, even Aussie-style lifeguards. Alicia had her own room near the staff bar, where she says employees were encouraged to relax and enjoy alcoholic drinks.
Were you excited as you left Australia and said goodbye to your family?
Excited and nervous, but more excited. New adventure.
3 months after arriving, at the end of a long day, Alicia was in her room when it began to flood.
Water was coming up from the drain in the bathroom, so I called maintenance. They came, they cleared it out, and then I went back into my room, and within another half an hour, it was flooded again, and a lot worse.
The flooding was no accident. Later, maintenance would find a man's shirt and a plastic bag had been used to block Alicia's drain, forcing her to leave.
They knew the only place for you to go and wait was the bar.
Yes.
It was about 11 o'clock at night. She left her room, went to the staff bar. She sat down, opened her laptop, and ordered herself a bourbon and Coke. Everything seemed perfectly normal.
There was one person that I knew. He was in the life-saving department, so I was familiar with who he was. He brought a bucket of ice over to the table with tongs. He put ice in my drink. I remember drinking. I don't even remember finishing the drink. Next thing I know, I wake up at 4:30 in the afternoon the next day. The door to my apartment was ajar. I was completely naked with just my bra hanging off my shoulder. I woke up in pain. I had broken ribs and massive bruising to a lot of my body.
You'd been raped?
Yes.
Her drink had been spiked. She'd been taken semi-conscious from the bar to her room.
No, I'm just going to stop it right there. I just wanted to give you an idea of what Alicia had to say about her experiences. It's quite devastating. Now, she ended up filing with Starwood Hotel and Resorts. She's not heard back from them, but however, Starwood, they released a statement saying that what happened in June of 2008 to Alicia Galley, a former employee of Le Meridian Aqua Hotel, was deplorable. While the hotel worked diligently on Ms. Galley's behalf, the authorities investigated and prosecuted Ms. Galley under the local laws. Additionally, the men involved were also prosecuted and each served prison terms before being deported. As for Ms. Galley's lawsuit against the hotel, we disagree with the allegations. The hotel management provided support and assistance to Ms. Galley and her family throughout that time, including assisting with medical support and the investigation, liaising with her representative Australian embassy, and coordinating and arranging affairs with her family in Australia. Starwood's repeated approaches to discuss Ms. Galley's claim with her attorney have been ignored and declined. As the matter is part of an open, ongoing Starwood investigation and litigation commenced by Ms. Galley against Starwood and the Commonwealth of Australia, we cannot comment further at this time. The safety and security of our associates and guests continues to be a paramount priority. We also contacted the Australian Government Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade with a detailed list of questions regarding Alicia's case. This was their response. The department rejects Ms. Galley's account of her dealings with the Australian consulate in Dubai, as suggested in your letter of the 7th of May of 2013. Ms. Galley was provided with extensive consular assistance by the Australian consulate in Dubai. Our consular officers do not give legal advice, but do assist Australians in trouble to obtain local legal advice. As this matter is subject to ongoing legal proceedings, the department is unable to respond to the questions raised in your letter or participate in the Sunday night program. The department will present its position as necessary during the course of the legal proceedings. So there you go. She's being thrown around like a little football, this one. Now, as anybody travels, knows, you can go to your government website, find the advisory levels. If you're going to say, Holland or England or the United States, well, you know, this is really not too much of an issue. But of course, if you're traveling to hotspots in the Middle East, for example, yeah, you want to read the travel advisory, the latest postings. Now this is from the Australian Embassy. This is regarding travel to the UAE overall. Now, they have four categories. Exercise normal safety precautions. Exercise a high degree of caution. Reconsider your need to travel. And do not travel. Now, depending on the circumstances, the local circumstances of the country that you may want to visit, these can change. However, the second warning, exercise a high degree of caution if traveling to the UAE, is always constant. It never changes. Unless, of course, there is an absolute uprising of the likes we're witnessing in Syria, of course, it would change, probably, obviously, to do not travel. But this is what they have to say. We advise you to exercise a high degree of caution in the UAE because of the threat of terrorist attack. We have in the past received reports that terrorists are planning attacks against Western interests in the UAE. Pay close attention to your personal security at all times and monitor the media for information about possible new safety or security risks. When you are in the UAE, be aware that local laws and penalties, including ones that appear harsh by Australian standards, do apply to you. The UAE is a Muslim country, and local laws reflect the fact that Islamic practices and beliefs are closely applied. Laws may also vary between individual emirates. You should familiarize yourself with the local laws before you travel. The UAE has a zero-tolerance policy towards illegal drugs. Penalties can include the death sentence or life imprisonment. Medications available over-the-counter or by prescription in Australia may be illegal in the UAE. There are strict laws on personal conduct, particularly in regard to sex and personal relationships, as well as the consumption and possession of alcohol. Practices such as bouncing checks, non-payment of bills, including unpaid fines, hotel bills, personal loans, and local credit cards, are considered fraudulent acts and may result in imprisonment. If you become involved in commercial or civil litigation, it is possible that you will be prevented from departing the UAE until the matter is resolved. And they have links below for the traveler to explore. And that is true. If you get in trouble over there, Saudi Arabia, anywhere over there, they will confiscate your passport. They will hold on to your passport. Absolutely. We've all heard of that story of regarding, can't remember her first name, Mahmoudi. I think it was Susan Mahmoudi. Anyway, there was a movie made about her and her daughter, Not Without My Daughter, portrayed by Sally Fields. Yeah, she went to Iran, tried to get her daughter out. This was right after the Iranian Revolution in 1979. Her husband took her and her daughter over to Iran to see his family, would not let them go. Her passports were, her and her child's passports were confiscated. It took her forever and a day to get out of there via smuggling. Yeah, that's what it's like. It's almost like Hotel California, guys. You know, you can check in any time, but you can never leave, especially if you get yourself in trouble. I have to say that Alicia Galley was technically one of the lucky ones who got out. If you have kids or colleagues, neighbors, friends, family members, share this story with them. Share it. This is very serious business, especially in the world that we are living in, the world that we are sharing. Now, I got this story from Yahoo 7 News, Sunday night. I have the link in my blog. If you would also like to visit my blog, I have the story there with all the links. And that's at kelfritzy.blogspot.com. It's sitting there. If you would like to go check that out, that is the Red Fox Blogger. Now, before we wrap it up, I have something here that I found rather compelling, and I would really like to share it with you. This is from Michael Voris of The Vortex, and his program is heard on Real Catholic TV. He has something to say about Barack Hussein Obama, Islam, and the Catholic Church. I found this clip very, very compelling. Take a listen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Vortex, where lies and falsehoods are trapped and exposed. I'm Michael Voris. Talk about a need for separation of church and state. If, as liberals and lefties are constantly insisting, that the church should butt out of politics, well, that gate swings both ways. In his much ballyhooed Cairo speech to an audience of Muslims, Obama did nothing more than commit a carload of theological blunders. He claims to be a Christian, yet continually quoted from the Holy Quran, his words, as though it was divine revelation. Note to Obama's speechwriter in charge of matters theological, there is no new revelation beyond Jesus Christ. Muhammad and his gang of marauding mercenaries arrived on the scene 600 years after Christ. Second point to the self-styled faithful Christian Obama, Islam and Christianity are not the same moral equivalency. First of all, Christianity was established by God himself. Islam was established by a man who murdered and raped. His fanciful tales about having received divine revelation are nothing more than that, fanciful tales. After having dictated the Quran over a period of years, he then went back and altered various parts of it. Islam rejects the Trinity. God revealed himself to be a Trinity, and Jesus revealed himself to be God. Islam does not even come close to accepting these truths. In fact, the followers of Christ, according to a significant portion of Muslims and the Holy Quran, are to be forced to convert to Islam or killed. Which brings up the whole religion of peace canard. Politicians want to keep insisting that Islam is a peaceful religion, and any violence among its members is some weird, rare aberration. While there are many certainly peaceful Muslims who deplore violence, it's a lie to continue denying that Islam does not contain a very strong element of violence. It simply does. It was through violence and mass murder that it made its converts in the 7th century. It began in violence and has never hesitated to resort to violence when necessary. To keep insisting that the religion as a whole rejects violence is dishonest and extremely misleading. So why do politicians like Obama and the whole left-wing crowd keep trying to paint Islam as peaceful? Because it will put Islam on the same moral footing as Christianity. This is the truth, simply put. Left-wing politicians and ideologues hate Christianity because they hate the moral codes imposed by Christianity, especially sexual morality. So in an effort to destroy Christianity, they will try and elevate anything or anyone to the same level to make Christianity seem like it has no special place. Who knows if all those campaign rumors about Obama secretly being Muslim are true or not, and it's really not important. What matters is that he's not committed to Christianity, theologically or morally, but he pretends to be so he can foist his subversive antichrist agenda of abortion and Planned Parenthood sexual counseling for children and homosexuality and state control on the country under the guise of a committed Christian. If he's truly a Christian, he needs to go back to school for history and theology. I'm Michael Boris.
And like I say, I found that piece fascinating. I just got that in my email this morning, and it was just, it was uploaded a few years back, but it stands true today. Nothing's changed in the last four some odd years with Barack Hussein Obama. As a matter of fact, we see things are getting worse. So the person who sent it to me said, please, this is timely, take a listen. And it indeed is timely, and it is relevant today as much as it was when it was first broadcast 4 years ago. And this is true. Barack Hussein Obama is not a Christian. I don't know what he is. Of course, people think that he is a Muslim from Kenya, and he had to make all those, you know, funny little song and dance jokes at his press corps dinner there a couple of weeks back. I don't know what he is, but one thing I do know is that he is not a Christian for what he is doing to the American people, what he is subjecting them to. And Islam is certainly not salvific. It is not salvific in the sense at all. Unlike Christianity, Jesus Christ was our salvation. There is no salvation in Islam. I just wanted to leave you with that. Now I am down to the last few minutes. But there is something I really want to do, and there is something I really want to thank. That is Blog Talk Radio. I know. A lot of people complain, Blog Talk Radio. And it's true, there's been glitches, tech glitches. For example, I didn't have my slides on my last show. But that also could have been my end because I uploaded new software. So I might have been messing around with my iPhoto. I don't know. So maybe that was actually my end. But as you know, I used to do the Red Fox on Tuesdays and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. which I no longer do. I have moved my show into little half-hour segments Mondays and Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time now. And, of course, I will do the odd impromptu show, as, you know, it fancies me, but they will always be at 3 p.m., maybe Wednesday 3 p.m. or Friday 3 p.m. But what happened when I did move everything around is that I had to close out my old account. When I did that, I did not realize that all my shows of the last 14-some-odd months would also go into archival file and that nobody would be able to find them. For example, if you wanted to click on an old Red Fox episode from, say, oh, I don't know, June of 2012, all you would find is a 404 page can't be found. So I contacted Blog Talk Radio, and I asked them, I said, is there any ways that I can retrieve my old account so that people can listen to the old Red Fox shows and archive? They worked like you wouldn't believe. What they did, they took my old account and what is now this account, and they amalgamated the two for me. So now everybody can listen to every single episode, if you like, of the Red Fox. The Red Fox from March of 2012 until April of this month, and as well, of course, as the new Red Fox blogger. So I really do owe Blog Talk Radio a big thanks for that because, like I say, they worked very hard to do this for me, and it's not, technically it's not something they had to do, but they did it for me. So I'm very, very grateful to that because I was rather, you know, well, let's just say, how would you feel if you lost over a year's worth of files? I would have been devastated if I was never able to retrieve those archive shows, but I can. I have links for both the shows in my blog that you can check out, too. They're in the blog roll. I have the archived shows, the old Red Fox, every single episode. And, of course, I update for Red Fox Blogger. But that is it, guys. I am out of time. I want to thank you all who joined me in the chat, and I want to thank you all who listen and archive. Guys, you're great. Please take care. And I will see you back here on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.